Welcome to the show.
Thank
it's
you.
Great to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Cletus Friedman is one of the most talented culinary artists. Do you bridle at a description like that?
I'm loving
He's a cook.
I make food.
What is it, chef, cook? I mean, what, you know, the world of food has changed considerably in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
The world, especially of Chicago food.
Incredibly so.
Yeah. I was talking to, you did an event a couple weeks ago, I think, mm-hmm. with Ina Pinckney.
Yeah.
At
Authors on the Lake.
Yeah, Authors mm-hmm. on the Lake, which is a new series that you've started at Theater on the Lake yeah. and the Lakefront Restaurant. And Ina was talking, Ina was a real pioneer in that whole culinary explosion, wasn't she?
Ina is something else. I mean, she's really a force. She's been at it a very long time. And after retirement, she's still going.
Yeah, I know.
With her books and her
How
movie.
Was that? How was that event?
Oh, it's so much fun. I mean, she's incredible. Everybody loves Ina.
You love her especially,
I
don't
love
you?
Ina. Like I say, she's like my Midwest bubby. It's and she had to translate with that man. It's like a grandmother. But, I mean, yeah. she's fantastic. She's inspiring. She's a mentor. She's a friend.
And she was at the forefront of this. You know, you can look back at, you know, places like the Pump Room in the 1930s mm. with the flaming food, and you can look back. There are very few things that would lead one to understand the explosion that happened in restaurateuring in Chicago over the last 15, 20 years?
What yeah, do you think? I moved out here. I remember in 95, in the late 90s, there was an explosion of small restaurants, and then one would open, one would close, and not unsimilar to what's going on these days, but it seemed like there were always new places opening, and it wasn't so chef-focused, I think. That really happened with the internet and cable and Top Chef and all these shows.
That's
but,
a point. You know, what initially probably happened with was when restaurants began to understand that the setting and the environment could be entertainment, that dining out could be more than just food. It could be some kind of experiential kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You think?
I think that's hospitality. It's the general note of hospitality the way it should be, because it's not just about the food. It's not just about the beverage. It's about the experience. Once you walk into a place, how do you feel? What's the energy? How are you treated? Is the food great? Is the service great? And do you want to go back? You know, I always tell people there's 75 places in one block now that and you can walk out your door and go anywhere.
Yeah.
Why are you going to come to our place? Why are you going to come back?
How did you come to? I don't need a quick snappy answer, but you know the gist of what I'm asking. How did you come to food? Obviously, you were fed as a baby, and
yeah.
somewhere along the line, you said, I'm more interested in this than just eating it.
I blame my mother in a very good way. You know, when I was younger, my mother was always cooking. She was always entertaining. And at a young age, food and community meant something, because people were always coming over our house. And
where was your house?
I was born in Baltimore, Maryland, in Pikesville. Shout out to Pikesville. you know, she would bake cakes for us, my sister and I. She would bake cakes for everyone, and she was always cooking. It was always kind of therapeutic is how I saw it.
And
her therapy was in the kitchen.
Did you then wind up around her in the kitchen?
Yeah,
watching
yeah.
And
I was watching. I was licking spatulas and fighting my sister for the bowls and stuff like that. But I was always watching her attention to detail. And I would watch Julia Child and Yen Can Cook and Jeff Smith with the Frugal Gourmet on PBS. You know, that was our rock and roll chefs back in the day. And I kind of always knew that was what I wanted to do. I thought that's cooking and makes people happy. That's what it equated.
I'm thinking that at whatever point you decided to make that your career, that your mom said, good, that's great.
That happened just recently, I
think. After you got a good job.
No, I think it when I had City Provisions and she came and saw what I was doing, I think she finally got it.
How did you, when you went to school and when you decided, when you were thinking about a career, and when you were thinking about a career, though you're vastly younger than I am,
mm-hmm.
it was not, You know, I don't think all of the shows were on TV.
No.
Becoming a chef was not seen as some, you know, logical career path alongside lawyer, accountant, and doctor.
No, and that's funny you say that, because growing up as a with a Jewish mother, it was, you know.
Doctor. I wanted to be my son, the doctor.
Well, chefs didn't make money.
Yeah.
And that's.
No, the chef was the guy the waitresses screamed at.
Yes,
who gave the grilled
exactly.
cheese to you.
And it still is.
Yeah, in many ways. Yeah,
but,
no
you
kidding.
Know, there's a certain panache now, I guess, that people see, but people see one side of it. They don't see the other.
Oh, no, I know the tremendous amount
of
work.
This business.
But
so.
Back before, so you go to, what do you go to school to study?
I was actually studying somewhat time and space, knowing that I was buying time, because I was working in restaurants through high school, through college. And, you know, at first my mother wanted me, said, be a physical therapist. So I tried that.
It's like
then,
a doctor. It's like very much like a doctor.
So I kind of veered through high school working. I remember finding places where I wanted to learn from and going there.
And this was still in Baltimore.
Still in Baltimore. I moved out here in 95. It was interesting. I was at University of Maryland. I was studying Japanese. I was planning on moving to Japan. And I wanted to live in Japan for a while. And just before I graduated college, about a month before I graduated, I lost my father. He died of a disease called scleroderma.
Oh.
And I was 21. He was almost 52.
Oh,
and it kind of changed the course of my life.
Yeah.
And I moved out here. I knew one person. And I started working in restaurants.
Why
and,
Chicago?
I didn't want to go to L.A., and I wanted to get off the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
I knew one person here, and I came to Chicago, and I fell in love with it right away.
And in many ways, Chicago's fallen in love with you. We will, Cletus Friedman, who I've always found a fascinating guy, we're here to talk about the Theater on the Lake and the Lakefront Restaurant, and we will get to that. But I want, after a couple minutes of commercials and the news, We'll go through his Chicago career very quickly. He's come to Chicago. He knows one person. That's where we leave it. We'll be back.
Thank you.
Cletus Friedman is here for the rest of the show. We're talking about marriage and life and kids, and we will not share that with you. He is one of Chicago's leading restaurateurs, and when we last left Cletus, he had sadly lost his dad at the tender age of 52, and he had decided to move to Chicago, where he only knew one person. What did you do when you first got here?
So that one person was studying at Improv Olympic, as it was known back in
yes,
the day.
Yes, in the day.
And he was telling me about this guy, Del Close, who
was the
master. And so I started studying over at Improv Olympic back when they were over on Belmont and Racine, little 30, 40-seat theater. And I would do that and work in restaurants and kind of did a little bit of both and had a lot of fun and met a lot of great people.
That is not a bad training ground. I'm having known Dell pretty well and Sharna still.
Oh, yeah.
Not a bad place to train to be a chef, because you do need a chef is not some rarefied person who gives someone a menu and then leaves. There's a lot of interpersonal relationships that develop in a kitchen.
There is, and there's also that creative process.
No
and,
question.
And so something that I found really great about improv that leads to kind of what I do in general is having a creative outlet. And whatever your palette is, whether it's a plate, a stage, in a studio, making music, whatever the case may be, I've done a little bit of all of it and I've enjoyed it all. And as long as I have some sort of a creative outlet is what really fuels me. And that's what being at the restaurant does on a daily basis. I can just create and have fun and have these relationships and be able to direct and teach.
You started at the Lakefront Restaurant in sort of late summer of, well, you probably started earlier, but it opened in the late summer of 2017. How did you get there? I know you had other places before.
Yep. So I was at Fountainhead and the Bar on Buena, Fountainhead Market. And after I left there, I got a call that said, there's this guy working on this project that you'd be great for. And I got a call from John Wren, and John invited me out to this building that I rode my bike by all the time, just like everybody in Chicago.
So, everybody
I used to run by it. I drive by it. I know the building, and I always knew it as a dump, you know, cobwebs everywhere and what have you, and walked in, and John had these plans and said he wanted an upscale tavern on the lake, and I kind of had this vision in my head right away of what it was going to be, what it would feel like, what it would look like. And I got the honor and the privilege to be a part of the design team with Kaufman O'Neill.
I know that was one of the great things, and I knew that when I first wrote about it in August of 2017, that it really was a collaborative kind of effort. You know, for the theater part of it, Joe Shanahan of Metro and other interesting venues, that it really was that John and Susan Nickel, it was a collaboration, a creative collaboration, yes?
Yeah, John really assembled this kind of super group of people and in all the facets of this project, because there's a theater, there's the event space, there's a restaurant, there's the outdoor campus from, you know, the north end of North Avenue all the way up to Diversity Harbor. There's 22 acres of lakefront property to play with. So he's got a lot of great people working, doing a whole lot of different things.
Was there anything daunting about it for you, Cletus? I can understand the upside. I can understand, wow, I get to be in on the ground floor of this. Was there anything daunting about it? I think its location is unbelievable.
It's spectacular, no doubt.
It is spectacular, and it's also, it's much more accessible than people think it is, I think. Don't you?
I do, and I, you know, people want to say, oh, there's no parking. Well, here, want to come down here, there's no parking either.
Yeah, right.
But when they have valet and...
They have valet, and most people take...
Uber drop-off, whatever.
Exactly.
Ride share.
Exactly. What were the growing pains? Because there are always are growing pains at any new endeavor.
Well, I had designed and built City Provisions, which was 2,100 square feet. Now we're dealing with 21,000 square feet. Yeah. So how does that scale? But the challenges of building east of Lakeshore Drive, where you know the original structure never really was designed to bear weight, and how do you?
No, it was designed as a health sanitarium for tuberculosis kids. Yeah,
But I learned a lot about structural engineering and electrical engineering. Working with Mark DeMarsh as a general contractor taught me a whole lot, which was fun. You know, I got to almost become a project manager at that time, which was really super interesting. Not something that all chefs get to be a part of.
Exactly.
But having the wherewithal to understand what can go where, and then leaning on the architects to say, oh, that's too heavy, and you have to reinforce the concrete and the trusses.
Trying to keep the original structure of the culinary graduate school. Did you also get to design the kitchen itself?
Yeah, design the kitchen, the bar. Yeah, it was fantastic. And there are limitations. You know, there's no gas out in the building. So it was an entire electric line going on. In fact, when I was talking to John about coming on, the last thing he said to me was, before we hire you, there's something you need to know. It's like, oh my goodness, I don't know what this guy's going to tell me. He said, there's no gas.
$3 million from you. We need a check from you.
There's no gas in the kitchen. I was like, okay. You know, so we griddle burgers. So it's finding staff is hard.
You had to adjust the menu then accordingly.
Yeah, well, in planning a menu, you kind of want to see what the kitchen is going to look like, how much space you have, because architects and investors always want butts in seats. So they give you 500 seats and the kitchen 400 square feet.
Right.
You know,
right.
There's no sense of figuring out how plates are going to be executed coming out of a kitchen. It's just, this is what you have to work with. Now figure it out. And we're figuring it out.
Well, what a great challenge. I think that's a very interesting creative challenge for you, too.
It really is, and it's a matter of finding the right people who can work together and building a team that can come in every single day and bang that stuff out, and that's the fun part.
All right, back to the growing pains. What were some of the growing pains?
I think... Like,
well, but you're open in February, and a growing pain is like, where's a customer?
Yeah, winter is a growing pain. Staff, finding staff right now with all these restaurants opening, the labor pool is shrinking.
What do you look for in
I look for passion and personality.
Personality, that combination.
You can't teach that kind of thing.
Right.
You could teach somebody how to follow a recipe, someone how to measure. You can teach someone how to carry a tray, how to make a drink. But you can't teach them to get really excited when they taste a good wine or to slice open a watermelon radish and get butterflies in their stomach.
Yeah.
That kind of excitement is somewhat innate, and it comes from within, and you can't teach it. You can't teach a personality. You can't teach someone how to talk to someone, how to be friendly. That kind of stuff is what I look for.
Have you found over the years that you know, the old conventional wait staff kind of deal, let's say when, you know, Richard Melman opened RJ Grunts, it was like, I mean, I hire cute girls who are in college and want to marry doctors. But the people who want to wait in restaurants now, that they think of it because of the restaurant boom, much more soundly as a profession rather than, oh, this is my part-time gig.
That's kind of when I go to Erie Cafe, that's how I feel. Those guys have been there for centuries.
Yeah.
You know, they know it and they love it. I think these days, especially with all of these television shows, people think they're going to get into a restaurant and then next week they're going to be on a TV show.
Absolutely.
And that's not why we do what we do.
Well, in the same way that people think I'm going to take an improv class at Second City and in a couple of weeks I'll be on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. It's exactly the same. It's so very true.
How fascinating. You people can go to, and I do want you to go look at theateronthelake.com and theateronthelake.com/restaurant because I think there is, and we'll talk about it later in the show, in the 15 minutes we have left or so, there is, I still think, some confusion. I think a lot of people have been to the space, but they maybe have been there for a party.
Yep.
They maybe have been there for some other kind of event. I'm sure as an event space, it's
phenomenal.
Crazy busy.
Well, and a lot of people haven't been there since they went to a haunted house there in the late 70s.
Right.
Or they saw Shakespeare in the Park in 1982.
Yeah.
They just don't know what we've done. And people still go by and don't know. And
I'll bet that happens. I'll bet on a nice day, you know, a nice spring day, if we ever have one. Today was okay. Where people be riding their bikes and they'll stop and go, what's going on here?
Well,
I've been riding my bike here for 20 years. What is this?
And they come in and they're blown away. Oh. They're wowed. And that's what happens. They park their bike. They walk in not knowing what they're coming into. And then they wind up staying for a meal and staying for drinks. And we've had people come in for brunch. They enjoy brunch. They have some drinks. And they're there staying till dinner.
Oh, that's great. That's
amazing.
Great. Like Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Like Vegas. We got to take a short little break, and Cletus Friedman's going to be here all the way till 11, so we'll be right back. Michael Miles is a great musician. There have been a number of musical acts, and there's going to be theatrical shows at the Theater on the Lake. What I need you people to understand is there is a Theater on the Lake, and as part of that and a sort of partner in that venture is the Lakefront Restaurant.
Yep.
They are one, you know, if you get invited to a wedding there, by all means go to a wedding. If there's some big benefit party there, by all means go to a benefit party there. I don't get invited to that many things like that. So for me, the place is a theater music joint and a great restaurant. Is that?
Yeah. I mean, every day we do lunch, we do dinner every night, we do brunch Saturday and Sunday. So it's operating 7 days.
Who do you draw for lunch? I'm curious.
It changes seasonally because in the wintertime, we had a lot of neighborhood people, a lot of business people. Now it's anybody and everyone that's out there on the
anybody
lake.
With a bike.
Yeah. Anybody with jogging shorts.
Yeah. Anybody. Yes. There's no. Yeah. You don't have that. No shirt. No shirt.
We do have a dress code. You have to wear pants. And we want you to have a shirt on.
Always a good idea. How do you. I know you are. You're incredibly. In your mind, Cletus Friedman. Is the restaurant itself running smoothly? Have you hired the people you want to be with?
We have an incredible team. We just hired another 18 or 20 people for the summer.
Yeah.
But we have a really nice core team that's been a lot of people that have been there since day one.
Oh,
and
neat.
We're just we're there to have a good time and serve great food and great drinks.
What about the menu? How does the menu
so
change?
I describe it as seasonal Midwestern with a French influence. I don't know what that means, but people seem to see that in a box. We have a lot of great appetizers, sandwiches, salads, entrees. I change the menu seasonally to reflect what we're getting from farmers and granite. January, February, March, it's somewhat challenging.
Sure.
But now we get into the season. I can start doing things weekly as things come out of the market. Asparagus, rhubarb.
Do you do it on the fly? I mean, if something comes in, if you go to the market and see something and take it back to the restaurant, you then go, okay, I'm going to do this.
I mean,
that is your culinary creativity,
That's
right?
The fun part is being inspired by what Mother Nature is giving us. I love walking right over to Green City Market and checking out the colors and the shapes and what's going on, different flavors, bringing them back into the kitchen, just playing.
Wow.
It's fun.
Wow, I'll bet it's fun. What do you eat when you're... when you're off the clock, or you ever, but it would be like, I've asked writers this, what do you read when you're not writing poetry? And some will say comic books, and some will say, historical fiction. Is there something you're drawn to when you are want to get away from your own?
I love seeing what my friends are doing out in the city. I mean, if I'm home, I eat peanut butter and jelly. But when I go out, I love, my wife and I went to La Soude the other night in Roscoe Village.
Yeah.
Fantastic French place. Kevin McMullen's do a great job. I love Lula Cafe, Giant. I love Elche, Monteverde. I love all these great places. I mean, we are in the best food city in the country, and I'm fortunate to have a group of peers that are super talented.
Yeah.
And I love seeing what they're doing.
Is there an incredible... I've often thought the music scene in this town is much deeper and broader than anybody thinks, and it is also much more nurturing than anyone would imagine, where it is not as competitive, where everybody isn't clawing at one another. I get the sense that it's the same in the food world here, that people are, it's not like you're bringing asparagus to your friends or something else, but it's not as viciously competitive as it might be in LA or New York.
It's very collaborative, and I feel like Chicago and all of us cooking here in Chicago are here to make each other look good. We share sourcing, we share ideas, and it's a great energy. And I think that's the greatest part of being a chef here in Chicago, is that we're surrounded by great talent and everybody wants everybody else to do great.
Yeah,
there's no competition.
Yeah, I
you
think
know,
that's
it's not this kind of
that's remarkable.
I need to be better than
at
you.
The same time, it's remarkable and it's refreshing to me.
It's fun.
But I must ask you, when some of your chef pals
mm-hmm.
first walked into the lakefront restaurant, they must have gone, oh, come on, how'd you get this?
There's a lot of that. In fact, we hosted the James Beard Chef's Night Out a couple weeks ago,
when
we had
here.
Everybody in. And when the spaces kind of open up and empty, you don't realize it's a restaurant. Right? Because
right,
the tables
right.
are gone. And
the whole look of the whole room is
totally different.
Yeah.
But everybody that comes in, they know it's special. And I always tell our staff, there's every restaurant in the world has drama, has issues, but we get to do it here. And every day that I go in, I get to look at Lake Michigan and the skyline. I mean, it's an amazing place. It really is.
Now, you have, as I do, a 14-year-old. You have two 14-year-olds.
Yep.
Would you be happy if they got in the restaurant business?
I would be happy if they're doing something they love. I know my daughter loves to cook. My son's getting, he used to just eat, fried chicken.
What if she just sees you make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches?
Then
she could be the greatest
peanut butter and jelly sandwich
That's right. maker in the world.
That's right. I would love it. I would love it if they got into it.
Yeah. What they must have been to the restaurant a number of times.
Oh, yeah.
What did they think of the entire place? Have they seen... shows there?
Not shows, but they've definitely been through the restaurant. They've been in the kitchen. They've seen it operating, and they know it's special. It's exciting.
Now, in a couple weeks, or whoever knows when, there will be the restaurant will now have an outdoor space.
This week.
You're sure?
Well,
you're a weatherman.
I am not that, but we're going to fight Mother Nature on it, and we're opening up the patio this week. We'll have about 80 to 90 seats. We call it the Skyline Patio. There's no better view of the city. You got Lake Michigan
right there.
You have the skyline.
No question. You could, what challenges does that present for you, though?
The patio?
Yeah.
Well, our restaurant's almost doubling in size, and my kitchen stays the same. So that presents
that's
a challenge with
challenge.
Volume.
Yeah.
But, you know, the weather, when we have events and people buy out the whole place and they want to rearrange the thing, we got to hide all the furniture. So there's a lot of laborious time that's spent moving things. But, for the most part, the challenge is just making people happy.
What the when it's craziest up there, in my mind, is when the Air and Water show takes place.
Oh, yeah.
How was that last year?
It was pretty fantastic. There's that 3.5 acre
park
green space that we call the Lakefront Green, and it's pretty much open the entire year, but for private events, we can block it off. And for the Air and Water show, we have a viewing party where we barricade the green off, and we have drinks and food out there. I mean, it was amazing. There's no better place to watch the Air and Water show. You got the Blue Angel flying right above your head. You can almost reach up and grab him.
Well, Dan Long, the engineer here, is like so into he's just hearing about it. I'm surprised he's not going over there now to bust in. There's a private event going on there, a wedding or something, and just go in and say, Cletus said I could come here.
I've never heard that before.
What?
I'm sure
they never have. You also, one of the things in the few minutes we have left, you are a cocktail fan.
Love
and
cocktails.
I know you do. And you've introduced me to some amazing bourbons the years. That too is an element. I'm not a huge craft cocktail guy.
Mm-hmm.
But craft cocktails are it's there's a boom.
Yep.
Why?
I think it's just the way the industry is going. It started with the food as part of the restaurant, and then all these spirits and smaller distilleries started making really nice spirits, so now people want to do something with it. There's more access to better ingredients now.
Oh.
And I think that, you know, our lead bartender, AJ, and I will work together on creating some really fun cocktails. Go into the one of our distributors has a huge bar. We just go in and play around and start messing around with different spirits and different adjuncts and ingredients and coming up with really fun stuff. And this week we're launching our new menu. We have a bunch of new cocktails coming out.
Give me a for instance.
For example, we have kind of a take on a pina colada with a couple different rums and coconut milk and some Wonder Mint. It's fantastic. Just a whole lot of cranberry gin going on with some ginger. There's all this fun stuff. And when you talk about coming back from the farmer's market, you see what all these distillers and brewers are doing, and it's just fun to play with.
Wow. You have made for yourself in Chicago since coming here.
Been working hard.
Very young man. I know. That's the other thing. I don't think people quite realize, because it seems easy on TV, even if you have to make a meal in a half hour. I don't watch a lot of these shows. I watch some. But it's a tremendous amount of work.
No matter what the field you're in, you got to put in the work, right?
To be successful, you have to put in the work.
Exactly.
Well, I know some. Wait a minute. Dan and I know some people in this business who don't put in the work. And they may be successful, but they're not good.
Right.
That's the other great thing. It is an ongoing real treat for me to know you. And
thank
I think
Rick.
You have met this challenge. I think you will be there for some time, but you never know. I mean, there will be another challenge. You've met this challenge, and you're refining this challenge.
Every
and this
day.
Place is an organic thing. When the theater starts kicking in and they have plays there, that's a completely different...
Yeah, the Park District's got their launching their programming soon. They do 6 weeks of shows, so...
It's music, a completely theater. Different animal.
It's a lot of Cletus, a lot of fun.
Cletus, I am a great, great eternal admirer. Oh my God, thank you. Thank
time
you.
Time went by too fast.
Yes. Just go, ladies and gentlemen.
Come out and see
us. Yeah, you have to go. Theater, easy to get to. Take a cab or a Lyft, or don't use Uber.
Double the Divvy station right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, they have a ride a bike. Mm-hmm. Yeah, ride a bike and or walk.
Walk.
You know what? Walk.
Get out. Yeah.
Go to theateronthelake.com and theateronthelake.com/restaurant. This is one of the I would offer to, you know, if you didn't like your meal there, I'd pay you back, but I wouldn't believe you. This is a, you will love the place, and you will love the food, and if you get to meet Cletus, you will
come say hi.
You will be very fond of him too. Thanks a million for listening. Roe Coleman,
thanks everyone.
World's greatest producer Dan Long, the next big customer of the Lakefront Restaurant. And you, the listeners, I greatly appreciate it. Go do what I tell you. Go on the mob tour and then go to Theater on the Lake.